Thank you, Brother Brian, for leading us in our songs of worship this morning. Open your Bibles today, please, to the book of 2 Peter, chapter 1. The book of 2 Peter, chapter 1. We are going to start a new series this morning. I must say, I have been really seeking the Lord. And yesterday, early, Brother Brian had texted me and I said, "Preach, I'll be doing." I knew he was leading the singing this morning, and he said, "Preach, I try," and he always does, and as well as Brother Stephen, they always try to pick songs that will go with the sermon. And I do believe, I really, truly, passionately believe, music is a vital part of worship. Amen. Let's try that again. Music is a vital part of worship service, right? And music prepares our heart. One of the greatest illustrations I love, Dr. Jerry Vines talks about music, and he says how he uses an Old Testament illustration about the walls of Jericho and how the Israelites marched around the walls of Jericho, and then there came a time where they were to blow the trumpets, and music was the sound throughout the land. And he said, what is music for? Well, he says music is like that. He said what music does is it tears walls down. And I love that, because he said, well, often what happens in music, as far as in the worship service, our congregational singing, the choir singing, the instruments playing, prayerfully it is used to tear the walls down a little bit in the human heart. So then the gospel, the preaching of the gospel, can come and pierce right to that heart. You know, oftentimes people come to a service like this, and they come in with walls up. They come in with defense mechanisms up, and you know. But it's amazing how the Lord Jesus. You say, "Preacher, why does that happen?" Well, you know, sadly, many times in churches, and I hate to say this as a preacher, and I hate that this even has happened. But as a preacher of the gospel, over the years of my ministry, 20 years as a pastor, I believe. What is the date today? 19th. It's all day 19th, right? I believe I'm correct in saying this. I think it was April the 20th of 20 years ago, April the 20th, 1995, that I started my pastoring as a senior pastor. I believe it. I could be wrong on that, but I know it was April. I thought it was around the 20th that I officially became a pastor of a local New Testament church. I pastored a mega church when I first started there at Westview Baptist. You say, how many was your membership? Six people. Amen? Six people. But I preached, somebody said, "Preach you six people. How did you preach to six people?" I preached to six people like I preached to 2,000, man. I was chucking the corn. And in my first pastorate, after 6 months, I had preached everything I knew twice with new sermon titles. And Brother Larry Harriman, you were part of that first work I pastored early on. And Brother Steve Wiggins and his wife, and just so many, a few of you here, Brother Danny Rubelski. And but man, it's been a great journey. God has really blessed, and the Lord has gloriously shown forth, and I'm humbled. I was telling someone the other day, I said, I'm humbled at how God has blessed two churches that the Lord has allowed me to pastor. I said, I don't deserve, that's why it's grace, amen. I said, I do not deserve to pastor two growing churches and in my tenure and in my ministry, but God's been very good. But so today we are going to start a new series, and I've entitled the series to run in our theme for the year of growing forward. Let me say it like this. It is God's will. You said, now I hope your ears perk up, because anytime a preacher stands and proclaims a statement like that, it bears, and it really should pique your heart and pique your interest. And really, when a pastor makes a statement like that, you should perk up and listen to what he says, because that's a pretty bold statement. It's God's will. You say, preacher, what is God's will for my life? Here it is. It's God's will that you grow as a believer in Jesus. It's God's will. You know, often I was saved on July the 6th of 1988. It's a long time ago, seemingly a long time ago. And God born me again that night, Wednesday night, on a First Baptist Church of Alexandria. You say, Wednesday night? You mean God could save people on a Wednesday night, not just Sundays? Well, God can save Monday. God can save on any day that ends in a Y. Amen? God can save. Some of you are like, Thursday? Friday? Saturday? No, Saturday has a Y too. And but no, God can save on any day that ends in a Y. But when you come to the Word of God, when you come to the book of 2 Peter, I love this book. This book is tremendous in the context of Christianity 101, of growing in our life with God. You know, one of the perplexities of my life has been that observing those over the years, those that have come and gone. Those, by that I mean, those that have started out really hot for God, seemingly, and then just kind of fizzled out. It was just kind of, you know, so my question, and again, not playing Holy Spirit, God is my witness, I'm not doing that. But by observation, here's my thought, here's my question. Were they really saved? Do they really have Christ as their Savior? You say, well, preacher, just because a person quit, that doesn't mean they're lost. No, I'm not saying that. And please do not, please hear me, and I hope you hear me with clarity. And please don't put words on my mouth, but my point is this. When God saves, it's God's desire. And here's another bold statement. It is God's desire to change us. But not just change us for the sake of change. It's God's desire. Are you listening? Say, I'm listening if you're listening. It's God's desire to change us, conform us into the image, the likeness of His Son, Jesus Christ. So how does God do that? He does it with growth. He does it with growing us in our faith. Let me say it this way. He grows it by maturing us in our faith. Michael Jackman, I'm very proud of you. I want you to know that. This young man, when did you surrender to preach? 2012, 3 years ago. Successful as far as businessman, successful in his career. Lord's blessed him. God called him to preach in 2012. You know what he's done since 2012? Last year, right? I'm embarrassing him. But I'm proud of him. Because God called him to preach, and I've heard preachers say this, when God calls you to preach, it is a call to prepare. And I believe that, wholeheartedly believe that. Since 2012, called to preach. Last year, he committed. Last year, he completed his bachelor's degree in ministry. Is that right? Bachelor's degree in ministry. You know what he done in the last 12 months? He completed his master's degree. Isn't that awesome? Yes, sir, brother. But I'm mad at him. You say, why are you mad at him? I'll tell you why I'm mad at him. He took Hebrew. Yeah, let that bless you. I haven't even mastered the King's English, man. And he took Hebrew. One of the languages the Bible was translated out of. He took Hebrew and got a 99 on the exam. Yeah. His wife said to me, said, preacher, my husband's version of struggling in school and my version of struggling in school are two different versions, right? But I'm proud of him. And the reason I'm proud of him is for the simple fact of he had a passion to grow. You know what? God puts that in. I really sincerely, I think I can make this statement based on the Word of God, the principles therein. God puts a passion. It's one of my favorite words. He puts a passion in His children to want to grow. It's quiet in here. But let me also say this. You see, yeah, but preacher, it's all of God. Listen, I do believe wholeheartedly that salvation is all of God, but I also believe, right out of this passage of Scripture, that even though it's 100% God that does the saving, God also has deposited, look up here, God, when He saved you, He made a deposit in you to be able to build on. He laid a foundation in your life by giving you and I the Holy Spirit of God. You say, preacher, well, when did the Holy Spirit come into my life? The moment you repented and believed the gospel. The moment you trusted Christ as your Savior. You know, there are those that say, well, and I've had people say this over the years, different religions, they'll say, well, no, you get saved, but I tell you what, man, oh, you don't get the Holy Ghost. They don't call Him Holy Spirit. You don't get the Holy Ghost until 6 months, a year later. That's a lie from hell. You get the Holy Spirit of God the very moment you got born again. He comes in, he takes up residence, and may I remind you on the authority of the Bible, he will never leave you or forsake you. That's what God does. So having said that, when the Holy Spirit of God comes in, this is a lengthy introduction. This is a lot of introduction, but it's important. We got to set this, I want to set up as far as the context of what we're looking at that. And by the way, Brother Michael, you know this. You preach that in this room. Anytime you preach a passage of Scripture, absolutely 1,000% make sure you stay in the context of it. You say, why is context important, preacher? Because if you take a verse out of context, you are doing a disservice to the Word of God. And it is dangerous to do so. So make sure you keep it in its context. And I'm very passionate about that. But God's put something in you. And when you read the book of 2 Peter, Peter knew that. As a matter of fact, if you found your place, say, I found it. Now, let's stand in honor and reverence to the reading of the Word of God. 2 Peter, chapter 1, and we'll start in verse number 1. We will not make it through verse number 9. It's going to take us a while. We may get out of verse 1. I don't know. But we'll see. I will say with Michael, recently, I knew he was studying Hebrew. And anytime I'd come across a word, I said, hey, look this word up for me. I said, I think it means this. Look this up. And he would always look it up. And then he would give me the sound of the word. Yeah, that's good. I like that. You say, why do you like that? Makes us deeper, man. I tell you, I got to give you this thought. It helps us grow. I mean, think with me for a moment. Say, preacher, we have an English Bible. You're right. But it wasn't always English. Are you with me? If you're tracking with me, say, I'm tracking with you, preacher. It wasn't always English. And I'm not saying we distort the King James Bible, but it's important to bring clarity often to the original language. Man, studying the Hebrew and the Greek, what a tremendous, tremendous, tremendous study. Be students. Of the Word of God. That's what God's called us to be, church. God has called us to be students of His Word. We are disciples. We are to be learners of God's Bible. It's got to get in us. Can I get a witness? It's got to get in us. You say, preacher, why is the Bible so important? I mean, you as a preacher, Michael's a preacher, Brian, Andrew, Brother Stephen, as preachers, why? That's important for you. No, friend. Yes, it's important for us, but it is vital to the believer for spiritual growth. It's God's will for you to grow. Say it with me. It's God's will for me to grow. Say it. It's God's will for me to grow. Now, as your preacher, I'm going to help you. That's our job. We're going to help you grow. I think I'm preaching to about 4,000 people. How many we got here today, guys? 4,275. Hallelujah. If I do the counting, it goes in the bulletin. Look at verse 1. Simon Peter. You do know that God does not waste words in the Bible, right? Simon Peter, a servant, bondservant, a bondslave is literally the word. You say, well, how do you get that word, preacher? It says slave, it says servant in the King James. How do you get that word? The study of the original language. The bondservant, a servant by choice. Somebody who was scheduled to go free, right, Brother Michael? They were scheduled to go free and legally had the right to go free. But they chose to stay a slave to their master. Boy, that reminds me of a believer in Christ. We are to be bond slaves in Jesus. I'll preach. I got to get back to the pulpit or I'll never get anywhere. And an apostle. Word apostle is a sent one. By definition of the New Testament, primarily, it was a select group of men. They were sent ones, yes, but it was a more the descriptive word of a select group of men that had seen the resurrected Lord. That's important that we know that. Of Jesus Christ. To them that have obtained, I love this, man, precious faith with us through the righteousness of God in our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you. Through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Father, we love you. We ask your blessing on the reading of your word. May your Holy Spirit, God, it takes your Holy Spirit
to make this word real to us. Father, we need your help. And God, we need your power. And Father, we ask that you will do as the Holy Spirit what only you can do. And that is illuminate your word to our hearts and to our minds. May we be forever changed, God, as your people because of the service. For it's in Christ's holy name I pray. And amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Christianity 101. Growing forward. It's God's will for us to grow, church. It's God's will for us to do that. So my question is, are you growing? Now, in order to understand 2 Peter, we've got to lay some groundwork. I've preached a couple of times, maybe a few times, through the book of 1 Peter. The book of 1 Peter, now again, the Apostle Peter wrote two books of the New Testament, 1 and 2 Peter. 1 Peter was written with the backdrop in the context of suffering. Nero, the Roman Empire, who died somewhere, they think, around AD 68. Nero was a wicked, wicked man. He persecuted the Christian people. He persecuted. He had many put to death. Tradition tells us, history tells us, that he was such a wicked man, he literally would often impale these believers on huge post-like thing and dip them in tar, light them on fire, and literally light his garden. I read that by way of tradition. So he was a wicked individual. 1 Peter was written in the backdrop of suffering. 2 Peter was written to expose false teaching, heresy. 1 Peter, ministering especially to suffering Christians, focuses on the intimacy of Christ as a means of encouraging the Christian believer. 2 Peter deals with scoffers, deals with those that want to twist and turn the Word of God. Somebody said, I think it was Dr. Johnny Hunt said, that in the context of these heresies, they were, here's what they would do. Well, you say, what do you mean by this? Why is it important that we understand how they would twist the scripture? One of the things that the false teachers would do, what they would teach was they would deny. Here's one characteristic of a cult. Are you with me? One characteristic, one way of knowing, just one way. There are many ways, but one way of knowing that a religious organization is cult-like is when they deny Jesus Christ as Lord. You say, preacher, is that a big deal? You better believe it's a big deal. Let me say it like this. Your and I's salvation depends on Jesus being Lord of all. So they twist the scripture. Then they, now somebody, I think it was Dr. Johnny Hunt said, that in the context of this, well, how they twisted it was this. They had elements of truth wrapped in a lie. You see, they had a little bit of truth, but they wrapped it in a lie. He said, preacher, is that dangerous? You better believe it's dangerous. It's absolutely dangerous. And Peter writes to these believers who had faced martyrdom. Many had lost loved ones because they would not deny Jesus Christ as Lord. And yet here they are. They were living in a kind of a time of history like perhaps we're living in today. ISIS, right? You claim Jesus as Christ and many of them get arrested. Many of them are shot execution style on the side of the beach there. So it's a very tumultuous time in history, first century was. So Peter writes to encourage these believers, and now 2 Peter writing to expose the lies that these false teachers are bringing in. These false teachers are teaching damnable heresies. They were teaching destructive heresies. They deny and twist the scriptures. They bring true faith into disrepute. That they were challenging the truth of Christ and they were adding to the gospel. Remember what by the way, we're talking in great detail on Wednesday night through the book of Galatians. And dealing with the Judaizers who had crept into the churches or in the regions of Galatia. And what they were doing, they were adding to the gospel. They were saying that, yeah, you have Christ, but oh, to receive full salvation,
Well, that's a phrase I've been told over the years. If you want to have full salvation, you better speak in tongues. I got news for you, sweet friend. On the authority of the Word of God, I got all of Jesus the moment I got born again. And it's important that you know that. And by the way, Peter, I think it was Peter who also said, and by the way, keep in mind that Peter was a man who had seen the resurrected Lord. He was on the Mount of Transfiguration. And Peter, by life experience, said these words. Yes, I have life experience, but oh, understand, we have a more sure word of prophecy. What is that? The Word of God. The Word of God trumps my experiences. The Word of God, God's written Word, is our final authority, ladies and gentlemen. You say, well, preacher, what do you do with your experiences? You thank God for them, right? You thank God for them. But oh, sweet friend, you say, well, preacher, wait, preacher. There was times that I all of a sudden, I just had chills come over my body. I got goosebumps on tops of goosebumps, and it caused me to do things. Surely that was God. Well, let me help you with something. Let me help you interpret the Bible in an interesting thought. You can have goosebumps on top of goosebumps that give birth to goosebumps, and it doesn't mean Jesus gave it to you. You tracking with me? Because understand, ladies and gentlemen, God, I hope you hear this, God, in His Word, in His sovereignty, will never, never go against His written Bible. He'll never do it. He will never do it. So, I don't know how you got me off on that tangent. They mock the second coming of Jesus. But also, these false teachers. And I've witnessed this. I've observed this of those that teach false teachings. They have immoral character. Many of them have a moral character. And I will forget. It was quite a while ago, but there was somebody that was challenging me doctrinally. And man, they wanted to meet. They wanted to talk to me. They wanted to make sure. In their words, to make sure that I was staying true to the Bible. Bring it on, brother. Let's talk. Let's meet. I have nothing to hide. Write it in the sky. And they were so concerned. And they were so worried that I had drifted away from the truth of the Bible. And we met. We agreed to disagree, if you know what I'm saying. But shortly thereafter, I found out that this individual who wanted to expose me for teaching false teaching was the biggest whoremonger in Macomb County. Yeah, you heard that right. Sexual sin like you wouldn't believe. Slept with any woman he could. But he wanted to make sure that the preacher was preaching the truth. I got news for you, brother. If your life does not practice, habitually in practice, the teachings of Scripture, you don't believe the Bible. You don't believe it. And one of the dangers, it's Phariseeism, right? Phariseeism is the attitude and notion of somebody always wanting to point out the sins in your life rather than taking an introspective look at themselves. I'll go on record and make this statement to you today. If we would spend more time looking at us rather than looking there, we'd be able to keep our mouth shut a little more. Can I get a witness? And before you want to point a finger, you were taught this before as kids, right? Before you want to point a finger, always remember there's three little ones pointing back at you, son. It's me, oh Lord, standing in need of prayer. It's not my brother. It's not my sister, Lord. It's me, oh Lord, standing in need of prayer. So Peter writes, man, I got a lot of preaching in me today. Wish I had a couple more hours to do this. But in the context of 2 Peter, Peter's writing to expose these false teachings and let them understand. And here's another important key to understand that as you read through 2 Peter. And I encourage you to read it. Tremendous read, easy read. The word knowledge is used some 16 times in these three chapters.
He wants us to increase in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He wants us to know more about him. Question for you. I'm giving you a lot of questions. It's exam time. I hate exams. One of the things I hated about exams when I was in high school, Christian school, Brother Larry, I hated this. But my teachers would get up there and they would pray, always pray before the exams, right? And that's okay. You say, oh, you don't like prayer? No, hang on. Here's what they would pray. You ready for this? Lord, may you help my students remember everything that they studied. I hated that. Because I wasn't included in that prayer. Hated it. I wasn't praying for remembrance. I was praying for illumination, brother. Lord Jesus, may I would pray, even so come, Lord Jesus, for this exam. He said, preacher, you crack me up. I crack myself up, man. I do. I promise you I do. I laugh at myself. Me and Leslie laugh at each other. Leslie laughed at me one time. one of the popes died. And we were watching the funeral thing, you know, and all that. Well, they had him in a clear casket. This is my rationale. So I'm watching this, right? And I'm watching this with my beautiful bride, who I love with all my heart. And I say these words. I said, true story, I said, oh, clear casket. I said, you ready for this? I said, she's about to crack up. She says, I said to Leslie, I said, I bet that casket's bulletproof. True story. Leslie goes. Honestly, I'm sitting here. She's sitting here. She goes, bulletproof. And starts laughing at me. Terrible. Pray for her. Michael, in your studies, did you find out if it was bulletproof or not? You got to get deeper into Hebrew to find that answer. So she laughed at me. One day, I laughed at her. And one of the kids' programs we used to use was Word of Life. How many of you remember the Word of Life program we used to use? Tracy, how many? Well, I cracked myself up. I'm getting myself in big trouble. I want you to know. To get you to laugh, I am in big trouble, but I'm going to share this with you. Is it okay? Thanks, babe. She says okay. But we got devotionals for the teachers. You know, the teachers like to do that, like to read ahead and study and learn a little bit for the kids and, you know, learn a bit for their own spiritual growth and maturity. And I ordered these devotional books. Well, she's sitting at the house and she looks at me and she goes, very calm, cool, collected, very sweet-spirited, she says, you're going to have to order some new ones. Just like that. My wife hates when I imitate. She said, you don't do me right. Okay, let me try that again. She says, my beloved, would you please, yes, my Lord, would you please order some new devotional books? I said, well, why? Why do you want me to order new devotional books? She goes, I got too many big words in these things. I said, well, you remember this story? I said, well, Mike, you'll laugh. I said, well, why? I said, well, give me an example. She says, right here. I said, well, what's the word? She said, epitome. I try to be a student of the word, and I try to read a lot. I have never heard the word epitome in my life. I said, well, spell it to me. She spelled it. I said, you mean epitome? True story. She then responded by saying, well, I've never seen the word written down, apparently. I was like, I cracked up. We busted out. We laugh all the time. You say, why are you going that route? I have no idea, other than just trying to encourage it as far as from the married standpoint. We've been talking about laughter and all that. It's good to laugh. Laugh with each other. Laugh at each other. And hilarious. That's the story of our life. It never, never fails. She laughed at me when I was being chased across the church parking lot by a rabbit squirrel one day. And she laughed at me. I called 911.
Freddie, I called your dad. I think I called your dad that day, and I called 911. I said, I got a report of a rabid squirrel. True story. And you said, why didn't you kill it? I ain't touching that thing, right? I ain't touching it. I ain't getting near it. Rob, our former assistant, was with me, and he had a golf club, Dave Moon. He had a golf club, and he's running backwards, and he's doing this, right? And I said, well, I took off, and I'm running harder than he's running. And afterwards, he said, why'd you run away from me? I said, I'll tell you why, because I've seen you swing a golf club. There's no way you were going to hit that thing. True story? You say, preacher, that's the story. I promise you, that's the story of my life. So animal control came out. The guy pulls up, right? He's in his truck. He didn't even get out of his truck. He pulls up next to this stupid squirrel, and he's got this claw thing. And he goes, boom, and grabs it. I'm like, wow, you're a man. Woohoo! You're in my He-Man Woman Haters Club. Amen. Hallelujah. We got another member, and it's a charter member. But we laugh all the time, and life is fun. It's good to have a lot of fun. I have no idea how that goes with the sermon, but I hope it encourages you to laugh. Oh, hilarious. Never a dull moment. And when I die, oh, we got a snorter in the building. I just heard a snort. When I die, bury me in a bulletproof casket. Amen. My life's a carnival, man. But so let's dig through this real quick. Just give you a couple thoughts. Stop laughing or I won't be able to compose myself. Christianity 101, Simon Peter. You see, in the context of this sermon, there are three words that we're going to look at. We're going to look at the word faith. We won't be able to finish this, but we're going to look at faith. We're going to look at growth. And we're going to look at results. Faith, growth, and results. You don't have to write that down. Just stay with me, and I'll finish this up in just a few minutes. Simon Peter. It's interesting how Peter began his letter here. You say, well, preacher, I've never really noticed it. Well, again, remember what I said to you a moment ago? God never, ever, ever, please hear this, God never wastes words in the Bible. If a word is there, the Holy Spirit of God inspired that word. Did you hear me? Simon Peter. Simon was the name given to Peter by birth, his physical birth. Being Jewish, he would have been given that name on the eighth day after his birth at circumcision. Simon, the name Simon means wavering one, unstable. Simon was his name given to him at physical birth. Peter was the name given to him at his new birth, after his new birth. So just to see, are you tracking this? Say amen right there. Simon Peter. Peter writes this letter with an emphasis of knowledge, with increasing in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And he begins the letter by simply saying, addressing it this way, here's my opening statement, Simon Peter. There's an old part of me, pre-salvation, but oh, thank God, there's a new part of me. Jesus changed my name. It's not uncommon for the Lord to do that. You see, I would venture to say that there's a lot of us here this morning that before you were saved, you were known as something else. Danny, I'll use you because you've shared your testimony. Before he was saved, he was known as Danny, the drunkard, right? The rebel rouser. He told me, he said, preacher, he said, before I was saved, he said, I did things that I wouldn't have been in jail for. I'd have been under the jail for. Many of you here this morning, many of you here today, you know, God saved you out of a life of a drug addiction.
Andy Daugherty, one of my best friends, him and Jeff Finn, my two best friends. Andy was, before he was saved, he was known as a cocaine addict, an alcoholic, a drunkard, a fighter. But since salvation, he's a preacher of the gospel. So question for you. Is there an old and new part of your spiritual journey? You see, if you're born again, truly born again, your life has been changed. Hear me. Look up here, please. No change. I promise you on the authority of the Word of God. No change. No Christ. I hope you hear that. If there's never been a change, you're probably not saved. You say, preacher, surely I'm going to heaven. I've been a part of Emmanuel for decades. I've been a part of Emmanuel for weeks. I've been a part of Emmanuel for months. I thank God for that. But I promise you, and I haven't looked at the sign in a while, but I think I'm correct in this. Nowhere on our sign, nowhere on our website does it say, nowhere on our stationery, nowhere in email correspondence, nowhere is it written that Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church saves people and takes them to heaven. It's not written anywhere. You know why? Because we can't save you. But what we can do is tell you about the one that can save you. His name is Jesus. Simon Peter. Look what he says. Simon Peter, a servant, a bond slave, a slave by choice. You see, before God saved Peter, you remember what he was? He was a fisherman. A cussing fisherman, actually. He was a fisherman. And God saved him. He changed his life. You say, wait a minute, preacher. You even alluded to it just now that Peter, he didn't always live like a Christian should. You're absolutely right. And may I say this statement? I thank God that Peter is in the Bible. You know why I thank the Lord that Peter is in the Bible? Because it gives me hope, preacher. It gives me hope that the Lord Jesus Christ, in spite of my failures, in spite of my disappointments to him, in spite of my backslidden states often in life, he still has forgiven me and restored and still uses us. Thank God for his forgiveness. Well, Danny, aren't you grateful to God you're no longer known by that old life? Grateful to God. He said, wait a minute, preacher. Yeah, but there's people in your church that do things bad. You're right. But you remember what I said to you a moment ago? Quit pointing your finger at other people and start looking at yourself. Because listen, friend. By the way, I think I can run in this. Your gossip is killing churches. Well, yeah. If your husband had a backbone, he'd tell you, shut your mouth. Can I get a witness in the building? Guys are like, oh, I ain't touching that, preacher. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. You walk down that limb and cut it off, son. I ain't going there. Well, I mean, also, some of the men are gossips. Got to be careful with that. So in discord in the body, I'm going to tell you right now, I won't tolerate it. I promise you on the Word of God, on the authority of the Bible, I will not tolerate as a preacher gossip in a church. If I know you're gossiping, you'll be brought in my office and we'll deal with it. Oh, going in the principal's office. No, no, no. You need to understand God hates it. God hates those that sow discord among the brethren. He hates it. He hates it. So be careful. So you're daddy big britches. Well, I've got some big britches, but we'll leave that alone. They're not as big as they used to be. I've lost 30 pounds. Aren't you proud of your preacher? Miracle of God. Started working out at the gym. I go to La Fitness. Now, for those of you non-exercise gurus, it's called LA Fitness. But I go to La Fitness. Been riding a bike. I want to ride my bicycle. I want to ride my bike. I've been riding my bike. Been riding a bike there. And this happened to me Friday. I'm amazed at God. I'm going to end with this illustration, but maybe make a couple statements regarding the text. Simon Peter. Simon. Wavering one. unstable. Peter, rock-like character. Stability. Was at the gym Friday night. My wife and I went. Was that Friday night or Thursday night, babe? That happened. Friday night. Walked in. And that, just so you, for you novices of exercise. I tell you what. Oh, my goodness. My shirt matched my hat. Brother Brian taught me that. Oh, you should see my garb, man. I got, for lack of a better phrase, stretch britches on. Right? Got the blue stripe down the side. Got my hat on. I go up to my bicycle. Start riding my bike. Two guys get there. One on one bike, one on the next bike, and then there's your preacher. They're laughing, cutting up. I'm listening to my Richard Simmons sweating to the oldies. I'm not wearing his shorts. I'm telling you right now before the Lord Jesus, I ain't wearing his shorts. Brother Brian wears his shorts. Brother Stephen wears his wife beater t-shirt. But anyway. Oh, goodness. Richard Simmons is sweet as molasses. I'm telling you, he is. But anyway, another sermon. Sitting there, Simon Peter. The boy next to me. I've never seen this commercial before. This commercial comes on. He's watching television. I'm watching. I think the Tigers are playing or something, Red Wings thing or something. I forget what it was, but it's pretty immodest commercial. These guys were laughing about it. I saw it. I turned away from it. I'm just riding my bike, right? Smiled as they looked at me. A few minutes later, struck up a conversation with this guy. Riding a bike, right? Right? Riding a bike. I said, what do you do for a living? Just like this. So what do you do for a living? He told me, he says, I work in a truck place. I work in a truck place and, you know, help a mechanic. So I'm assistant to the mechanic and yada, yada, yada. About 15 minutes went by. We're still talking, just making normal conversation, riding our bicycle. He says, what do you do? I just smiled. I said, I'm a preacher, man. I said, I pastor a church. And, man, you could have heard a pin drop. And boy, we started talking. He starts telling me a story. His name's Tommy. He's 25 years old. He's a single dad. He's got a one-year-old little girl. My wife laughs at me. She said, how do you get all that information? Because I'm nice. Right? Yeah. He asked me, Brother Jim. I started sharing my story. I started sharing. The Simon part of me. As I was a 15-year-old kid, angered, mad at the world, hated my mom, hurt, was headed down a wrong path, drinking, playing in bars. Used to belly up to a bar as a 15-year-old kid. They'd serve me. I said, but God changed my life on July the 6th of 1988. I said, when I trusted him as my Savior. Brother Jim Tommy looked at me, he said, you got born again? I said, yeah. I said, as a matter of fact, I did. He goes, man, that put chills all over me. I said, Tommy, have you ever trusted Christ as your Savior? He said, surely by now you've stopped biking. No, I'm still riding my bicycle.
I'm hyperventilating, but I'm riding my bicycle. Got my matching hat with my sleeves, right? Blue pant, blue stretchy breeches with a stripe down the side. I got to be careful walking out my yard with that stripe down the side, because every now and then helicopters will hover over me thinking I'm a landing strip. I said, Tommy, as a matter of fact, I said, I am born again. I said, Jesus Christ saved me, changed my life. I said, He intervened in my life. I'm grateful for God for that. He said, you got born again? I said, yes, sir, I did. I said, Tommy, I said, have you ever trusted Christ as your Savior? Jeremy, it was a total change in the tone. He said, preacher, he said, I thought I have. He said, but. He said, I'm not sure. I said, and he started telling me a story. And he said, preacher, he said, I do things wrong and it doesn't bother me. As the dialogue began to continue, riding our bicycles, I said, Tommy, I said, one of two things. I said, either you're not born again, and I said, to which I would encourage you to get home, take your Bible, read the Gospel of John. And I said, pray this prayer. Pray something like this. That say, God, if I'm saved and if I'm born again, will you please show me and confirm that in my heart? But God, if I'm not saved, will you show me that? I said, God will show you. God will show you your need. But as we continued talking, I said, one of two things has happened. I said, either you're not saved and need to be. I said, or second of all, sin has calloused your heart. I said, I was a drywaller, Tommy. I said, when I first started drywall, it used to hurt me. I used to go home with my hand. You remember those days, Tommy? I used to go home with my hand. I couldn't hardly open it from running a screw gun all day. But as I worked harder and worked longer and weeks and weeks and weeks went by, I said, I got calluses that never bothered me anymore. I said, often believers can do that. If they're saved, they can get so wayward from God that it calluses their heart, it calluses their mind, it calluses their emotions, and it doesn't bother us anymore. Notice what Peter says in the latter part of this chapter. Look at the text. Verse 9, he says, but he that lacketh these things, he's talking about adding to our faith, and we'll dig into that next Sunday. He says, he that lacketh these things, what things? Godliness, patience, temperance, kindness, brotherly kindness, charity. He that lacketh these things, verse 9, is blind and cannot see afar off. And notice this. And hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. So I said, Tommy, I said, as we continued on, I invited him to church. And make a long story short, Jeff Fleming was downstairs. I'd seen him going in. He doesn't match like I do. But he wears the Richard Simmons wife beater t-shirt. But anyway, Jeff Fleming came upstairs before he left. He said, hey, preacher, I'm getting ready to leave. And as he turned and he looked and he said, I know you. He said, you work for D&D, right, Jeff? Jeff is sleeping. D&D Trucking, they start talking. And he goes, matter of fact, he said, Jeremy Bellinger. You know Jeremy Bellinger. That's what Jeff said. You know Jeremy Bellinger. Hi, Jeff. They were saying bad things about you a moment ago, brother. I stopped the church from doing it. And he goes, yeah, I know Jeremy. So as soon as I said, and we left. I'm sorry I kept you long. I said, but we left. And I said, Tommy, he got ready to leave. I said, Tommy, please no. I said, I'm going to be praying for you, man. That's what I mean. I said, I'm going to be praying for you. He goes, preacher, he said, I might come to your church. And so as soon as I left, the Law of Fitness, I text Jeremy. It was late. He was already in bed, I believe. But I text him. I said, hey, Jeremy, I said, just had a wonderful conversation with a young man named Tommy. Says he knows you. I said, I was able to share Christ with him. I said, follow up where I left off. You follow up. Very next morning, right, Jeremy? Very next day, he goes into work. Tommy made a beeline to you. Is that correct? Tommy made a beeline to Jeremy. Says, hey, he says, I met your preacher. Started talking to him. He said, preacher, why are you telling us that story? Simon Peter, I'm not the man that I used to be. Why? Because I trusted Christ. He saved me.
That's why Peter says, he's writing this to those that have like precious faith. Those others that have trusted Jesus as their Savior. We have a Simon. If you're born again, you have a Simon part of your life. But thank God there's a Peter side of your life, right? Stand with me, please, for him invitation. Christianity 101.